So today, Vivi, are very fortunate to have His Grace Kamal Lochan Prabhu here with us today. And Prabhuji is going to enlighten us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.45 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Dhanvat Maharaj, I am there.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for joining the call today and enlightening us. Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for your valuable time and association. I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text Number 45. Prasada Abhimukham Shashvat Prasanna Vadana Ikshanam Sunasam Subhruvam Charu Kapolam Sura Sundaram. Prasada Abhimukham Shashvat Prasanna Vadane Kshanam Sunasam Subhruvam Charu Kapolam Surasundaram. Prasanna Abhimukham Shashvat Prasanna Vadane Kshanam Sunasam Subhruvam Charu Kapolam Surasundaram. Translation, word-to-word meaning. Prasada Vimukham, always prepared to offer causeless mercy. Shashvat, always. Prasanna, pleasing. Vadana, mouth. Ikshanam, vision. Sunasam, very nicely constructed nose. Subhruvam, very nicely decorated eyebrows. Charu, beautiful. Kapolam, forehead. Sura, the demigods. Sundaram, good looking. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The form of the Lord is described herein. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. For the devotees who see Him, He appears never to be displeased, and He is always prepared to award benediction to them. His eyes, His nicely decorated eyebrows, His raised nose, and His broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. Purport. This verse clearly explains how one has to meditate on the form of the Lord. Impersonal meditation is a bogus invention of the modern days. In none of the Vedic literatures is impersonal meditation recommended. In Bhagavad Gita, when meditation is recommended, the word matparaha, which means pertaining to, is used. Any Vishnu form pertains to Lord Krishna because Lord Krishna is the original Vishnu form. Sometimes someone tries to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as avyakta, meaning unmanifested or impersonal. But it is remarked by the Lord Himself that those who are attached to this impersonal feature of the Lord suffer a very troublesome task, because no one can concentrate on impersonal feature. One has to concentrate on the form of the Lord, which is described here in connection with Dhruva Maharaj's meditation, as will be apparent from the later descriptions. Dhruva Maharaj perfected this kind of meditation, and this his yoga was successful. Omagyan Virandasya Gyananjana Shalapaya Chakshuro Militam Yena Tasmei Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Sva Padantikam Andeham Sri Guru Shiva Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnava Sri Rupam Sakam Sahagana Dagunatan Mukantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Saganalita Shishakanidam Sha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Saptakanchana Gaurangirade Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Besya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Ajitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Now on the instruction of his mother, Dhruva Maharaj has left the forest. There when he is on the way to his forest, he meets Narada. Now Narada, he asks, hey, where are you going? Then Dhruva Maharaj says that, I want a kingdom, so I am in search of God. So then Narada, he starts saying, no, it's not good for you. Why don't you just go back? That then when you get proper time, when you become older, then you can do. This is not good for children. Sages only search for him by samadhi. You do yoga. There's a time for you to play. Go. Then one should become qualified for all these things. So then Dhruva Maharaj said, that no. It is actually not dependent on the age. And you may say anything, but I am very much determined to find out who is God. I want to know him. And I am unsubmissive of having intolerant Kshatriya spirit. I am a Kshatriya. Though I am seeming to be a small kid for you, but I am a Kshatriya. So naturally, Kshatriyas are having intolerance. And your instructions do not remain in my heart, even though you may say, be peaceful, I cannot be. So, my heart is very much disturbed. It has been pierced by Suruchi's harsh words. So don't try to pacify me. Now, if you know, tell me the path. Adam Tribhuvano Krishnam Jigoshu Sadhu Vartmane. If you tell me what is the correct path for me, I am listening to you. I don't want to just go back empty handed. Now, I want a kingdom which is bigger than my forefathers. So, if you tell me the way by which I can attain it, I'll listen. Otherwise, I'll find somebody else. Now, sometimes the devotees, they put tests. So how much eagerness is tested by even Krishna, even eagerness is tested by even devotees. Eagerness for anything. Here Dhruva Maharaj had great eagerness to meet Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna. So Krishna, Narada, he first tested how much Dhruva Maharaj is eager to undergo the austerity, undergo the tapasya for attaining Krishna. On the other hand, we find Sukadeva Goswami also tested Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness. What is that eagerness? Parikshit Maharaj was tested for the eagerness to hear about Krishna. If you go to the ninth canto, last chapter, last few verses, there Sukadeva Goswami described, told everything about Krishna in 2 verses. 9th canto, last chapter, last 2 verses, last 2-3 verses. Then, after speaking 2 verses about Parikshit Maharaj, about Krishna to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami kept quiet. Krishna was born in the jail in Vasudeva and Devaki in front of them. He went to Gokul. From Gokul, he went to Vrindavan. He killed so many dependents. He played with the gopis, went to Mathura and killed Kamsa, went to Dwaraka, married many queens, and then spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and then ultimately he spoke to Uddhava and then went back to his abode. Over. All Krishna's pastimes over in 2 verses. Then Parikshit Maharaj was very angry. Hey, what is this happening? You made me sit for 3 days and 3 nights and made me just hear about so many things from so many people. But the purpose for whom I am sitting here to hear about, I want to hear about Krishna. And regarding Krishna, you finished in 2 verses. So then Parikshit Maharaj goes on explaining why I want to hear about Krishna. Then he goes on saying to Sukadeva Goswami, what I want to hear about Krishna. Then, till Sukadeva Goswami was not speaking at all, then Parikshit Maharaj told, oh my dear Sukadeva Goswami, do you want me that I should go and eat something and drink something? You may be feeling that I am hungry and thirsty. Then Parikshit Maharaj expressed his eagerness to hear about Krishna by saying, Aitadirussahakshan maam tatyodunu bhagayet. My dear Sukadeva Goswami, my hunger and thirst are not at all disturbing me. My hunger and thirst are not at all disturbing me. You may be thinking, I am hungry, so I should eat something. No. I am thirsty, I should drink something. No, I don't want. Because I am drinking the nectar of Harikatha from your lotus mouth. So though Parikshit Maharaj has not even drunk a drop of water, he told, I am not thirsty. He had not eaten a single morsel of food, he told that I am not hungry. Because I am hearing Harikatha. So Parikshit Maharaj expressed his eagerness to hear. Then only Sukadeva Goswami spoke further at the 10th canto. So what was Sukadeva Goswami doing? Trying to test the eagerness in Parikshit Maharaj, how much his eagerness he has got to hear about Krishna. Now here, Narada is testing Dhruva, how much he is eager to meet Krishna. Actually, all the impediments which can come in our life are actually a test. A test for our devotion. A test for our eagerness to chant. A test for eagerness to meet Krishna. A test for eagerness to serve. So no obstacles are actually obstacles. They are only pariksha, tests. A test, when the examination comes for a child who is not well prepared, is not so good, he is afraid of the exams. But a child who is well prepared for the examination, he is happy when the exams come because that examination is going to make him more qualified. The same way, these difficulties which come in our life, they are actually not at all difficulties. They are not obstructions. They are there meant to make us more strong. They are just testing our eagerness to chant, eagerness to hear Bhagavatam. Like here, Dhruva Maharaj was tested by Narada. How much is he eager to meet Krishna? And Dhruva Maharaj, he passed by saying that you are the son of Brahma, Narada, playing Veena. Travel like the sun for the welfare of the world. So, if you are thinking of welfare of so many people in the world, don't see that I am a small boy. Person who wants to do welfare, he will do welfare to anyone. He will not judge by the other's material qualification. So don't see I am just a small boy. That means you are not really interested in the welfare of the people. If somebody is interested in the welfare of the people, they don't see whether I am a small boy, a knowledgeable person, or ignorant person. They just only see the eagerness. He says, I am very eager to meet Krishna. Because I want the kingdom, and the kingdom can only be given by Krishna. That kind of kingdom can only be given by Krishna. Then Maitreya, he says, Narad Muni, upon hearing the words of Guru Maharaj, became very much pleased with the boy. The great mercy, he gave Guru instructions. He says, Narada says, my dear Dhruva, don't worry. Whatever path your mother has told, the same thing I am recommending. That is, go and worship Vasudeva. How you should worship him? For that you need to concentrate your mind. Without concentration, nobody can worship Krishna. So concentration of the mind is very important. Savai Nishre Sayate Bhagavan Vasudevastam Bhaja Pravanatmana. Atmana here means one's mind should be concentrated. Then he said, anything you desire, the best person where you can attain it from is Krishna. Krishna is such a person, he does something wonderful. You know what does he do? He benedicts all the benedictions. Even though it is material desire, he fulfills the material desire. But how does he do? He does it by fulfilling and extinguishing both. Whereas the demigods, when they fulfill the material desires, they only fulfill the desires, but they don't extinguish the desire. Krishna is somebody who is very special. He not only fulfills the desire, but he also extinguishes the desire. That is the speciality of Krishna. That is why it is described, akamaha sarva kamo va moksha kamo jaradhi yuvedan bhakti yogena nijaitam purusham taram. Akamaha, whether you have all the desire, no desire. Sarva kamo va, you have all the desires. Moksha kamo, you have the desire for liberation. Intelligent person, jaradhi, what does he do? Jetam purusham param. He worships the Supreme Lord. Moksha kamo udaradhi. Jetam purusham param. How does he do? Tivrena bhakti yogena. By tivra. Like you find here, Dhruva Maharaj had sarvakama. Sarvakama means the topmost kama, which nobody can have. That kind of desire he had. Now we know in the Bhagavad Gita very well, four kinds of people, they worship Krishna. They approach Krishna. Who are they? There are Arthavartarja Jnyasu Jnani Cha Vartrashubha. Now if you see, Krishna has glorified these four kinds of devotees in two words. He says, Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam Jana Sukrutno Arjuna. Chaturvidha Bhajante Jana Sukrutinaha. He uses the word Sukrutinaha. Sukritana means one who is having Sukruti. That means in the previous life or this life he must have done some devotional activity like serving the deity or serving Krishna or serving the devotees. So they are addressed as Sukritis. Even though he has material desires, he is addressed as Sukritinaha. And then in the further verse he says, Udara Sarva Evaite. So these four kinds of people who approach Krishna, they are actually Udaras. At least they have come to me. Just see Krishna, how compassionate is he? He knows very well, they have not come to me. They have not come to me for me. They have come to me for some benedictions. But Krishna, at least he feels, oh, they have come at least to me, at last. He feels very, very happy. Like, there is a son, there is a child who is grown up now. Around he's in the teenage. Now somehow it so happens he doesn't bother about the parents. They give so many good things, but still he is not bothered. He is only roaming around his friends. But once in a while, once in 15 days or a month, he comes to his father and says, my dear father, all my pocket money is over, please give me pocket money. The father feels so happy. Even though he knows very well that this person has not come for me, he has come for money, but still the father becomes very happy, at least for the sake of money he has come to me. Good that he did not go to somebody else. So just see how father's compassion and affection is so much onto the child, that even though somebody comes out of material desire, he accepts.
The Rajendra Moksha prayer, Rajendra, is in the same thing. He says, my dear Lord, that people come with little desires to you, and when you fulfill the material desires of a person, what you do, you not only fulfill the desire but extinguish the desire. This is why if somebody has got material desires, better go to Krishna rather than to the demigods. Because Krishna, he fulfills the material desire as well as extinguishes the material desire. Like the same happened with Dhruv Maharaj. We know the story very well. When Krishna appeared in front of him, then Dhruv Maharaj says that you should. Hare Krishna, are you able to hear? Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
So Dhruv Maharaj, we know very well that what he did, he prayed to Krishna and Krishna appeared. Then Krishna told Dhruv Maharaj, what benediction you want, you ask. Then Dhruv Maharaj told, oh, I came in search of broken piece of glasses, but I found diamond. So just see, he came in search of some big kingdom. Krishna gave the kingdom. At the same time, what did he do? He extinguished the desire to attain the kingdom. Like sometimes many devotees, they go and ask, and especially in young men and young ladies who join our Krishna conscious movement, they say, oh Lord, please get me a very devotee wife. One young man, an young boy will pray to me. Then Krishna says, Tata Astu, you will get married to a very young, beautiful devotee girl. So he's so happy and he gets married. Just a few days after the marriage, oh Krishna, now enough now. One is enough. I don't want any more desires. This is the last. So he not only fulfills, but he makes sure that desire will not fulfill the expectation of happiness what he had from it. So Krishna makes us realize that material desires are never going to fulfill our expectation. So in this way, Krishna, being the personification of knowledge, he only gives knowledge sometimes to satisfaction with material desires. Mother, sometimes there is a child, she wants to give medicine. And how does she give the medicine? In a nice sweet capsule. The same way, Krishna, when he satisfies the desires of devotees, he actually, the material desires of devotees, what does he do? He not only satisfies but extinguishes. That is the speciality. Now, when you are talking about the testing, how Krishna tests Guru Maharaj. First, Narada tested for his eagerness to attain Krishna. Then, somebody may ask, why did Krishna give a big kingdom to Dhruv Maharaj? Dhruv Maharaj told, I also want to come along with you. He had a concern for his mother. Mother went back from Bhaktivaras before Dhruv Maharaj. When Krishna told, your mother is already on the airplane, on the Pushpa Vimana, which I have got. She is going to Vaikuntha. Dhruv Maharaj said, I will also come. But Krishna told Dhruv Maharaj, go, rule the kingdom. Why? Why did he do so? Mother did not do any tapasya, but Dhruv Maharaj's mother went back from Bhaktivaras, but Dhruv Maharaj had to rule this kingdom. Why? Krishna wanted to show to the entire world. What he wanted to show to the entire world? Number one, though Dhruv Maharaj had a material desire, he came to me. I fulfilled the desire as well as extinguished the desire. Number one. When the desire gets extinguished, it is extinguished to such an extent. To such an extent, Krishna shows to the entire world. Though Dhruv Maharaj was the king, but he was never attached to the kingdom. He had no attachment. So this is how Krishna, he removes the attachment, removes all kinds of material desires from the heart. Now we know four kinds of devotees approach Krishna. And the example of Artho, Artharthi, Artho is Gajendra. Gajendra approached Krishna. In the Gajendra's prayer, Gajendra says, O Lord, ekantino yascha na kanchanartham वाञ्छन्ति वै भगवत्प्रपन्ना अत्यद्भुतं च तच्चरितं सुमङ्गलम् आनन्दगायन्तानन्दसमुद्रमग्ना. ओ लार्ड्, ऐ नो ओन्ली प्योर् डिवोटीस् वर्षिप् यु. Your devotees are completely engrossed in singing the glories, singing your glories, and they are drowned in the nectar of the glorifications of your holy name and all your pastimes. But I am not like that. I am a mudha. I am just an animal. I have so many desires. Not only I am ignorant and so many desires, but at present I am suffering. And now, first relieve me from this suffering. And I have no desire to live, but once you relieve me from this suffering, then I'll surrender to you. I can worship you. So Gajendra is the example for artho. Artharthi means one who has got material desire. Dhruva Maharaj is the example for artharthi. And then jnani means those artho artharthi jignyasu. Jignyasu is Parikshit Maharaj, one who wanted to inquire. And the sages of Naimisharana, they also had an inquiry. And ultimately, Jnani is a topmost, because he has perfectly understood what this material world is. It is not the right place for him to stay. To search for so-called happiness in this world is like a pig trying to search for a rasgulla or a sweet ball within the gutter, within the waters which are contaminated, trying to find a sweet there. What is the use of it? In this way, Dhruva Maharaj is being tested by Narada, and he says, "My dear Dhruva, whatever desires one may have, the only method is by worshipping the Lord. Ekameva hare satra karanam pada sevanam." By worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, all desires are fulfilled. Then he says, "My dear child, all good fortune unto you. Punyam Madhuvanam Yatra." Now you go to Madhuvan. Now whenever you go to Vrindavan, don't miss this place. It's a very beautiful place. When you go to Vrindavan, from Vrindavan, when you go back to Mathura, or from Mathura to Vrindavan, it comes in the Madhuvan. Now is Madhuvan, very near. On the way to Mathura only, there is one place called Madhuvan. And there is some place called Tila, Dhruva Tila. You have to walk for at least half a kilometer from the road to go to that small hillock where Dhruva did tapasya. That is known as Dhruva Tila. Now Narada sent him to Madhuvan. Punyam Madhuvanam Yatra Sanityam Nityada Harihi. What nice, wonderful word Narada is using. Sanityam Nityada Harihi. Where Nityada? Always Hari is there. His Sannidhya is there. Sannidhi is there. Like in South India, when you go to any temples, what we call altar is known as Sannidhi. Where the Lord's Sannidhya is there, that is known as Sannidhi. Where the Lord is personally present, that is called Sannidhi, Sannidhya. Like in Islam, we call altar. Altars are open, but actually that is called Sannidhi. Where the Lord personally sits. So altar is not a proper word to use for Sannidhi. Sannidhi is the place, it is so personal. You say, oh, well, Lord, the place where? Lord's Sannidhya. Sannidhya means where it's personally present, nearness to God. It's called Sannidhi. Sannidhyam Nityada Harihi Harehe is there. Then, going further, he says, "My dear Dhruva, you go there, you bathe in Yamuna river 3 times a day, and then, Salile Shive, after getting purified, then what you should do, you should offer prayers to the Lord, and you should make an asana, sit upon it, and then, what you should do, giving up all the impurities of mind and senses of the life air, 3 types of breathing, Rechak, Prechak, and Kumbha." That means Narada is teaching Dhruva about yoga. Yoga practice by which you can perform bhakti, or yoga mishra bhakti. That is what Narada is teaching to Dhruva Maharaj.
Somebody may ask, why Narada did not teach pure devotional service to Dhruva? No, he did not teach because Dhruva came with a desire for satisfying his desire. He did not approach Krishna for some transcendental purposes. That is why Yogamishra Bhakti was taught by Narada to Dhruva Maharaj. Now, let us have a very clear idea. There is a lot of difference between Yogamishra Bhakti, Ashtanga Yogamishra Bhakti, and just Ashtanga as propounded by Patanjali in his sutras. Patanjali, in his sutras, what he wrote is only yoga, that's all, Ashtanga Yoga. It is not even Bhakti Mishra Yoga. That is why Vyasa clearly says that Patanjali is atheist. Though sometimes in some of the sutras, Patanjali Yoga Sutras, he talks about Paramatma. Vyasa, he gave a commentary on Patanjali Yoga Sutras and he established that how that Patanjali's Paramatma is like the X factor in a mathematical equation. When you solve some mathematics equations, there is a thing that you say, let's assume x equal to this, this, this. Now you go on doing the calculation. When you go on doing the calculation, you will find in every step there is so many x. But the problem is in the beginning there is no x, in the end there is no x. You find x in the middle everywhere. That is why in the Patanjali Yoga Sutras also you find so much of Vishnu, you find Paramatma, Ishwar, Pranidhana, all these things. But that is actually atheism. Vyasa has clearly proved Patanjali system philosophy is atheistic philosophy. Then that is the case, why is Narada teaching this Yoga Mishra Bhakti to Dhruva Maharaj? Now, what Narada is teaching and what Krishna taught in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is not the same yoga which Patanjali taught to us. Patanjali is atheistic yoga. Whereas, what is being taught here by Narada to Dhruva Maharaj is not atheistic. It is actually theistic yoga. Where Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, he says, what is he saying? He says, Om Ityaksharam Brahma Vyavaram Vamanrasparam. By chanting the Om Ityaksharam Brahma, Om, what you should do? You should think of Krishna. Vyavaram Vamanrasparam. Without thinking of Krishna, chanting Om has no value. So, Om Ityaksharam Brahma. That means, one has to meditate on the personal form of Krishna. So, Narada, after describing the angas of Ashtanga, the few basic tenets of Ashtanga Yoga, then he says, when it comes to the question of meditation, you should meditate on the personal form of Krishna and start describing the few features of Krishna. So Ashtanga Yoga can be done impersonally, but it has no real effect. But when Ashtanga is practiced, for the purpose of meditating on Krishna, that is called Yoga Mishra Bhakti, and that is quite recommended. Because there is the aspect of Bhakti, there is acceptance that Krishna is a personal form. So Narada, he goes on teaching further, that, oh, I told you to meditate, now I'll describe how you should meditate on, whose form you should meditate upon. Now, the 45th verse, where Narada starts describing about the form of Krishna. First thing he says, Prasad Abhimukham Shashwat. Prasad Abhimukham. Abhimukham Shashwat.
Hare Krishna. Prasada. Hare Krishna Prabhu, sorry for the interruption. Prabhu, the voice is not very clear. It's okay, but it's not very clear.
One minute. Hare Krishna now is it okay?
Prabhu,
Hare
yeah.
Krishna.
Yes, it's better Prabhu now, yeah.
It is better, na?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, because of this. Prasada Abhimukham Shashwat. Now, Prasada means mercy. Abhimukham means those who are turning his face towards Krishna, who are their devotees. Now we have clearly heard there are two terms. One is known as Abhimukham or Unmukha. Other one is known as Bahirmukha. Bahirmukha means what? One who is having enviousness for Krishna. Bahirmukha. Krishna Bahirmukha hoy Bhogavancha kore. Other one is what? Sevonmukhehi juhadau. So one is Unmukha, other is known as Bahirmukha. The Inmukha has been described here as Abhimukhan. That means devotees. That means those who don't have any enviousness for Krishna. For them, what is Krishna doing? Krishna is always showing his mercy. Shashwat Prasada. Shashwat Prasada. Prasada means mercy. Now, somebody may ask, what is the meaning of mercy? We use this word a lot. Oh, please show me mercy. Oh Lord, please show me mercy. Mercy. What is the meaning? As soon as we hear the word Prasad, oh, immediately become very excited. We think, oh, what is meant for Prasad? What is meant for Prasad? Somebody may say, oh, today is Rasgullas, Gulab Jamuns, Puri, Sabji, this is Prasad today. Somebody may say, what is the Prasad today? Oh, Kishini only, Prabhu. So, both are actually Prasad. We forget the meaning of Prasad. Prasad means mercy of Krishna. What is the meaning of mercy then? What is the meaning of mercy?
In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, 64th and 65th verse, we come to know what is the meaning of mercy. There Krishna clearly says that one, prasadam ajigacchati, indriyanam, he used the word anasaktasya vishyan. When somebody is not very much detached, that person, he gets prasada. He neither is having any enviousness or any. He doesn't have any kind of attachment. Nor he is averse to anything. He is totally very much neutral to everything. That kind of person, Krishna says that he attains my mercy. The mercy of Krishna is attained by a person who is neutral to matter. Neutrality to matter is the first qualification to attain mercy of Krishna. So while describing about the Sita Prajna, who is a Sita Prajna, or a person who is actually a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna, he speaks about one who is Raga Dvesha Vimukta Istu Indriyan Visheschara. One should be Raga. Raga means attachment. Dvesha, hatred. Both. One should not have, because both attraction and repulsion are the two sides of the coin called attachment. Just because you are averse to somebody, that doesn't mean you are detached from that person. Detachment and aversion are two different things. One may say, oh, I have taken divorce, so I become a sannyasi. Why you took divorce? I hate my wife, that is why. So do you think divorce is sannyas? No, divorce is no sannyas. Because that is coming out of aversion. Aversion is also attachment. Aversion is negative attachment. That is why Krishna says, Raga Dvesha Vimukteistu Vishayan Indriyescharan. You deal with matter. You be in association with matter. Vishayan. Vishayan means matter, material things. Vishayescharan. You deal with matter. Don't worry. Matter is not a problem. Problem is your attachment and aversion. Natma vashir videyatma. By practicing the regulative principles of freedom, atma vashir videyatma, there is a particular way we deal with matter. We cannot deal with matter according to the whims and fancies of our consciousness, whims and fancies of our mind. We cannot deal with matter from mental speculation. This is how I deal.
matter is created by Krishna. The laws of matter are also created by Krishna. So one who conducts or deals with matter according to the laws created by Krishna, that person, he says, prasadam adhigacchati, he gets prasad. You know, Sunday week's program, who gets prasad? One who comes on time and collects the coupon gets prasad. But that is your prasad. But if somebody wants Krishna's prasad, he is clearly told what he should do. Radha dvesha mukta is to neither have aversion nor attraction. Vishayan indriyascharan, deal with matter, don't run away from matter. Atma shevidhiya atma, deal with matter in such a way that you are following the principles given by Krishna in dealing with matter. So if somebody does that, prasadam adhigacchati, he gets prasad. Sometimes people ask me, Prabhuji, prasad, when is the prasad? Then I quote this verse. Next time they don't ask me when is the prasad. Anyhow, going further. Prasade sarvadukkhanam. Aner, what is the result of attaining prasad of Krishna? Prasade sarvadukkhanam hani. No dukkha at all. If somebody has got some dukkha, that means he has not eaten prasad. He has not got prasad of Krishna. You may say, Prabhuji, morning only I took prasad. Yesterday I took Sunday feast prasad. I took Rajbhog prasad. But still you are having dukkha. That means you did not get prasad. Now going further. Hanirasyopajayate prasanna cheto yaso buddhirparivatishtate. Who gets that? What is the other symptom of prasad? You got prasad. That is prasanna chetaha. Chetana, the consciousness is prasanna. Just by looking at you, people should become so happy. Oh, such a satisfied face. Your face is the index of mind. In the mind, there is satisfaction. It is seen in the face. Prasanna chetasaha buddhi parivartishate. And his intelligence is completely fixed up in serving Krishna. So what is that prasad? If you go further again, his early sentence, the prasad. I want to know what is the meaning of prasad. What is the meaning of prasad is, in spite of being in contact with matter, we are not affected by it. Padma patra vimambasa, the lotus leaf is in water, but still it is not touched by water. That maya, though we are in the midst of all the materialistic things, your house, your wife, your husband, your money, your position, but still not at all contaminated by this. Not at all affected by this. So that is called prasada. Krishna's mercy comes in the form of being unaffected by matter, though within matter. So such is person, prasada avimukam, that kind of mercy Krishna shows to whom? Those are devotees, Shashwat. And how does Krishna show his mercy? He shows his mercy through his face and glance. Now, we have the body of Krishna. The whole body of Krishna is oozing out mercy. But in the body of Krishna, which is oozing out mercy, the mercy coming from the face of Krishna, oh, that is special mercy. What is the special mercy? One step above. What is the special mercy? That special mercy which is oozing out of the face of Krishna will drown you. Will drown you in the ocean of prema. Now, going further, another form of mercy, that is the last effect of mercy of Krishna. One first effect of mercy is that you will not be affected by matter. The second is you are going to drown in the ocean of bliss. Ananda kunde nimanjanta. And now comes the third effect of mercy. How does it come? It comes by ekshanam. Prasanna vadane kshanam. One is prasanna vadana. By seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, you completely drown in the ocean of bliss. That is why everyone should go to temple and have the beautiful darshan, the face of Krishna. When you see the face of Krishna, it's always pleasing. Just by seeing the pleasing face of Krishna, we'll be drowned in the ocean of bliss. That is actually darshan. Now going further, you have ikshanam. Ikshanam means what? Sight. And now, when Krishna looks at you, the sidelong glance of Krishna, that is an arrow. that pierces the heart of a devotee and makes him faint. So the last mercy of Krishna that you faint. In this way, we have these three levels of mercy of Krishna. One is, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, where you are untouched by matter though you are in matter. The other one is you are drowning in the bliss. And the other one is you are fainting in love. The last stage of love is to faint. Now, going further, in this verse, prasannavadane kshanam sunasam, the nose of Krishna described. Now after you faint and then you get up, then you see the nose of Krishna. There are certain features in the body of a personality, great personality, it should be raised. The nose should be raised, it should be sharp. It should not be like a Chinese nose. Like Chinese, yeah, a flat nose. Krishna's nose is not like a Chinese nose. No, he's got a very sharp nose, very raised and sharp nose. That's how the nose should be. Bodily features also have a describe the qualities of the personality. There's one book called Samudrika Lakshana Shastra. There's a Samudrika Lakshana Shastra. It talks about the lakshana of a person, depending on which you can tell what kind of person is he. You must have heard something called face reading and all. That is all nothing but some remnants of this book called Samudrika Lakshana Shastra. So when you are an artist, especially you are a Bharatanatyam teacher, you are supposed to know whom to make Radharani, whom to make Putana. You cannot make anybody Radharani. You cannot make anybody Gopi. You cannot make anybody Yashoda. You cannot make anybody Sita. You have to find out. Only those artists or performers who have that kind of features, only they can fit for a particular role. Somebody may be, you may see somebody like very beautiful, but that person may be very fitting for Ravana. Because Ravana was beautiful, isn't it? Generally in our dramas, we find the most ugly person and make him Ravana. No. Ravana was very beautiful. But even that beauty, there is some crooked beauty. That person is Ravana. Of course, there are great signs. I'm not going to talk much about it. But here you have Krishna's bodily features of a great personality. The nose is actually shows the fame of a person. How much is famous can be identified by the nose. That is why in India, we say, generally the parents tell their daughter, "Oh, my dear daughter, you are going to get married and going to another house, your husband's house. Hamara naak bacha ke rakhna," means save our nose. That means what? You conduct your life in such a way that our family is always respected. So that is how sunasam, well raised, very sharp. And then above, the eyebrows are described. Eyebrows of Krishna are very powerful. Anybody who is suffering from the from lust. Of course, everybody should have darshan of Krishna's whole bodily part. But specifically, that person should see the eyebrow of Krishna. When you see the eyebrow of Krishna, you take it in writing today. Anybody suffering with lust, go and see Krishna in the temple. There, you see his eyebrow. For a few minutes, just see the eyebrows gone. There is no place for any lust in the heart for a person who sees the eyebrows of Krishna, at least for that day. Sunasam subhruvam. And because the eyebrow is like a bow, and the eyes are shooting arrows. So when you see that eyebrow, which is like a bow, and he's shooting arrows of his prema into the heart of a devotee. So in this way, he conquers our heart, which is filled with lust, by shooting arrows to the bow of Bhrukuti, that is Bhruvam. And then Charu Kapolam, forehead of Krishna. Now, this forehead of Krishna is very, very beautiful. If somebody wants to really get rid of all their karma, meditate on the forehead of Krishna. Because karma is written on our forehead. It's a Brahmarata. So, forehead of Krishna, you meditate, even though karma is there, well and good, not there also, well and good. It doesn't affect you, it comes also. So, Kapola, beautiful forehead. The forehead should be very broad, not very small forehead. Of course, there are 32 lakshanas, samudrika lakshana, and forehead should be broad, clear and broad forehead. And no one should cover the forehead with the hair. Sometimes we find these so-called modern mothers, they have no idea how to dress their children, how to make their children's hairstyle. They make the children's hair fall on the forehead and then make some kind of stupid haircut. No. The hair should be taken behind and the forehead should be very clear. Clear forehead should be there. And Krishna's forehead is always clear. And after Kapola is Su Sundaram, Pura Sundaram, is more beautiful than the demigods. The demigods are faint seeing the beautiful beauty of Krishna. Actually, all the demigods have become completely lusty because of Madana, Kamadev. They are just trying to see each other's wives. That is what happens in the demigods' loka. There is in Purana, Vishnu Purana, there is a story how Vali and Sugriva were born. So what happened? Once the sun had to stop. I don't tell the entire story. Sun had to stop for some time because of a prayer by one of the chaste ladies. So then Varuna, he thought, let me go to Swarga and see what's happening. I don't get time. 24 hours I'm on job. 24 hours driver. Aruni. Aruna is a charity of sun god. He went to Indraloka, Indra's palace. He was stopped by the guards. And he thought, let me take the form of a beautiful girl. So Aruna became Aruni. He was so beautiful. Just imagine, sun god's charity means he should be so effulgent. So then everybody thought, oh, new dancer has come today. Let him go. So Indra was seeing the dance and all of a sudden Indra's eye went and fell on Aruni. Immediately thought, oh, Aruni, somebody new came. Let me just go. And he caught hold of her, took her to private chamber. It is not took her, it actually took him. Aruna, now he's become Aruni. Indra told, I just cannot wait. I just want to implicate you now itself. Then she told, no, I am not Aruni, I am Aruna. Indra did not bother. I just want to impregnate you now itself. Forget Brahma, forget Urvasi. So then what to do? He got a kid now. He got a kid. What to do? So he came out. Then sun god told, where did you go? So I went to Indra's place. What happened there? I don't want to explain. It's a very horrible experience. No, you should tell me. Then sun god told that, I want to see the same form of Aruni now. Then Aruna had to take the form of Aruni because the boss told. The sun god is. And then became so lusty, then he impregnated Aruni. He got another son. Son begot one son from Aruni, who is actually Aruna. Then he became Sugriva. Another became Vali. So in this way, Vali and Sugriva were born. So after telling this story, Vyasa says that anybody who hears the story will develop distaste to go to heavenly place. Because they are so lusty. Why? Because Kamadeva is captivating them because of his beauty. But here is Kamadeva himself gets attracted to Krishna. Madana gets attracted to Krishna. That is why Krishna's name is Madana Mohana. The beauty of Krishna is Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. That is what is described by this word. Surasundaram. Now here, Narada is describing to Dhruva Maharaj the methodology of worshipping the beautiful form of Krishna. So generally those yogis who have no knowledge of yoga, they try to meditate on impersonal, which is full of kleshas. Prabhupada talks about full of dukkha. It is full of miseries only. Kleshodikatastesham, avyaktasakyasam. So there is a difference between the yoga process which is described by Patanjali and the yoga process described by Krishna in the 6th chapter. And Narada, who is instructing Dhruva here. So it is very personal. And whenever we find these verses describing the beautiful features of Krishna, one should read them again and again. It engrossed in drown of beauty of Krishna. So we'll stop here. Any questions, please do ask.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavats or Larissa Shila Prabhupada. It was a very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. I really enjoyed the class so much today. Thank you so much, especially when you were describing about the features of Krishna. It was wonderful. So I just wanted to, you know, add one more thing about when you were talking about Krishna, he never has hair on the forehead, and these days they put hair on the forehead. And always clear. That is actually very sweet. The other thing that came to my mind is Krishna also has side locks, right? Like curly side locks. So actually yes, hair should be there, not in the front. So,
yes.
So very beautiful, Prabhu. I was very happy when I heard this class because the way you were describing the features was wonderful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and like Prithvilasini Mataji said, like you are describing about beauty of Krishna, so very nice. Prabhuji, I missed the point, like it was not so clear. What happened to the devotee who got married to devotee girl?
So he did not pray again, Krishna, give me one more wife. Because he told, one is enough now. That is, for example, you know, if you get something, then generally there is a desire that I want one more, isn't it? But Krishna, when you go and ask Krishna, Krishna gives one, he says, okay, now enough now, no more. So he not only satisfy your desire, but he'll make your desire, extinguish your desire also. But the materialistic person, when he gets a wife, he's not just satisfied with one wife. And he says, oh, maybe she's not good. Let me try out one more. So they get divorced. Again, try one more. But devotee says, any was enough now. No more enough. Well, let one be enough. That's the thing. I just give you an example. That's all.
Prabhuji, thank you very much. I request other devotees, if they have questions, they can ask.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You mentioned, I think you mentioned three types of yogas. Ashtanga yoga, which is the yoga of Patanjali, right?
Yes, yoga of Patanjali is different from yoga what Krishna spoke.
And then you mentioned the third, right?
Yeah.
So the one that Krishna spoke is the one in the sixth chapter of Gita, no?
Yes, the sixth chapter of Gita is Yoga Mishra Bhakti.
Yoga Mishra Bhakti.
Bhakti with a little bit of mixture of yoga.
What? Say again?
Bhakti mixed with yoga is known as Yoga Mishra Bhakti.
Yeah, so when it's Yoga Mishra Bhakti, the objective of such a yogi is only to see super soul in the heart, is it?
Yes. Now, with an understanding that the super soul is a manifestation of Krishna. That is why in the sixth chapter there is a verse which says, Om ityekaksharam brahma vyaharam. Mamanusmaran, Krishna clearly says, yogi chants Om, Om ityekaksharam brahma, vyavaram, he chants, how? Mamanusmaran, thinking it is me. Thinking of me, he chants Om. So that is why it is devotional service. But what kind of devotional service? Mixed with yoga. That's the thing.
Well, Krishna is saying, thinking of me, but it's Krishna talking, right? It's Krishna who is speaking, so when he says, thinking of me, he's saying that yogi is thinking of Krishna,
Yeah.
And but his original form.
Yeah.
Because it's Krishna in his original form who is doing the talking.
Yes.
And so how is that Mishra?
Ah, very good question. It is Mishra because that yogi has attachment to the process of yoga. That is why Shicho Deshe, he goes to a clean place, and he puts an arson, neither high nor low. So it is not equal to the smaran, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. That Vishnu Smaranam is different from the yogi's smaran. Because in Vishnu Smaran, you see Prahlad Maharaj, he had only attachment to Krishna. Whether he was under the elephant's feet, whether he was drinking poison, whether in fire, he had no botheration of time, place and circumstance to think of Krishna. Niyamita smaranena kalaha. Whereas for yogi, no, all these things should be there. I should do pranayam first, then only I can do smaran. So he has some prerequisites for doing smaranam Krishna. Whereas in devotion, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, there is no prerequisite over it. Eating, you think of Krishna, sleeping, you drink of that is the thing, that is devotion. So the difference is you surrender and think of Krishna, that is bhakti.
Uh-huh.
And you think of Krishna, for that you surrender to some other processes, like putting asana up and down, doing all kinds of things. And then, that is Yoga Mishra Bhakti.
Okay. So in Yoga Mishra Bhakti, one feels that before he can meditate on Krishna, he has to do so many of the things first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We also do certain things as a bhakti anga, not as a yogic process.
Yeah, not something separate from...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one kind of yoga is this Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Another kind of yoga is the atheistic Patanjali yoga, where you just, I guess...
Yes.
Just meditate on anything. Doesn't have to be anything spiritual,
he says,
right?
Of course, it's quite complicated. To simplify, Ashtanga, what Patanjali has spoken is Yamaniyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Now, till the time level of Dhyana, Patanjali talks about you can meditate on anything. But when it comes to Samadhi, he talks about meditating on the Super Soul. But the problem is, he is a Super Soul, he is an imaginary Super Soul. It is an imaginary super soul. That is what Vyasa proved. Of course, this requires some knowledge of Patanjali Yoga Sutras. Vyasa wrote a commentary on Patanjali Yoga Sutras. Because Patanjali claimed that I am talking of God. The other systems of philosophy, Nyaya, Vaisheshika and Sankhya, they say clearly no God. But Patanjali told, God is there, super soul, Paramatma, he told. Then Vyasa had to give a commentary on wherever somebody accepts God. So he gave a commentary on Vyasa Sutra, on Patanjali Vyasa, Yoga Sutras, Vyasa gave. And then he proved in the commentary that what Patanjali is talking about is not actually the real super soul. It is only an imaginary super soul. So that is what it says. That's why
Vyasa
proved Patanjali Jaisa.
So there's this atheistic yoga of Patanjali. Then there's the Yoga Mishra Bhakti in sixth chapter Gita, and then the third one is what?
There are some yogis who are not aspiring for attaining Bhagavan. They want to attain the Super Soul, and the yoga will give only result when there is some bhakti performed. That is called Bhakti Mishra Yoga.
As opposed to Yoga Mishra Bhakti.
Yeah, Yoga Mishra bhakti is bhakti. That is bhakti. But bhakti mishra yoga, these people know that I am interested not in bhakti. I am not interested in Krishna. I want to get siddhis. So they want Asha Siddhis, eight kind of perfection. For that, what they do, they take shelter to attain the eight kind of perfections. Whereas, Yoga Mishra Bhakti is, they want to attain Krishna. For that, they are taking some help of yoga.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, they want Krishna. Bhakti Mishra Yoga, they want mystic siddhis or something.
No, no, no. Yeah,
other way around.
Yes.
Is it that way or other way around? I don't know which one comes first. Yoga Mishra. Yeah. But anyway, I get the idea. Yeah. I see. All right, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, I just had one follow-up question to her question. We're talking about yoga and Mishra Bhakti Yoga. So, and of course, the goal is goal for which they're working for is different, but is the process the same?
Process is the same, but the consciousness is different. True. What you're saying is true.
Thank you. So, Dhruva practiced what, Prabhu? I missed it.
Because of association of Narada, do you think he can practice any other thing other than bhakti?
Yeah. So it's different from the... Yeah. yes. Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dal Pranam.
Hare
Krishna. It's very question and answer in class, Prabhu. And also the description of Krishna is so nice. Prabhuji, I have a question. You were telling in the class, when the bhakti is very intense, it doesn't matter what kind of desire we have. Yes, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Material desire or kama, sarva kama, anything, akama, any kind of desire, it doesn't matter. Even
yes,
if...
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's very nice.
Yes.
Who you were telling, when the mind is not fixed in Krishna, it's difficult, yes?
I do not understand the question.
No, mind is not fixed in Krishna. Right. It's difficult to practice bhakti yoga.
No. Bhakti can be practiced in any condition. Anybody can practice bhakti, but the intensity may vary from one person to other person. But there should be a desire, that's all. Intense desire to practice, that's all.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I just want to make sure that I got this straight, that that Lord, and going back to that story about how Vali and I think Sugriva came to be.
That story I told you.
Yeah. Did you say that Indra had a son with, when Aruna became looking like a female, right?
Yes.
Like, and so when Aruna, let's say, became Aruni,
yeah,
He got a son with Aruni?
Yes, yes. He got a son with Aruni. And Rindra got a son with Aruni. And Surya also got a son with Aruni. So they both became Vali and Sugriva. That is why Vali was killed, because he is Indraputra, Vali. And Sugriva is Suryaputra. Surya is not late.
I'm sorry, the connection is not so good.
Indra is Boga, that is and Indra personification of sense enjoyment. Haribol.
So Indra is the father of which one?
And the connection is not proper, I'm not able to hear.
Indra is the father of Vali
Indra
or
is
Sugriva?
The father of Bali. Bali.
Bali.
Bali. Bali. Bali.
Oh, wow. Our connection is very bad. Anyway.
That is why Bali was killed. Rama killed the tendency of sense enjoyment, and he brought on, who is personification of knowledge.
You said, who is the personification of knowledge?
Surya. Surya means sun.
Oh.
Sun is knowledge, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But in Mahabharata, Surya's son was killed, Karna. Indra's son was protected. Because Surya's son, though he was knowledge personified, he had a bad association. That is Duryodhana. That is how Rama and Mahabharata, they are like, in this regard, they were exactly opposite.
Okay. But in the beginning, when Indra wanted to be with Aruna in the form of Aruni, he was trying to get away, right?
Yes.
But somehow he was not able to?
Yeah, he was not able to. Indra is powerful.
Okay. Thank you. Where do you find this story?
It's all Puranas, Madhu. So many Puranas are there. Hey, 18 Puranas, Upa Puranas, Upakhyanas.
Is in one of those more obscure Puranas?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class. And so much information you gave, and I particularly like the description of Krishna. Forehead and all the eyebrows and everything. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can end the class now?
Are there any more questions for Prabhuji at this point? Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class today. We are very, very grateful to you, and we really look forward to having your association again in the future. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Krishna.
Vancha, Kripatarubhyascha, Kripatarubhyascha,
Kripasindhubhyayvacha.
Jai.